It's time for more of Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's Dr. Hank.
And we're back, and thank you for staying with us. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we also have the show as an open forum, so please feel free to give us a call, share your thoughts and ideas. I know Jennifer's got to have some students out there that are probably listening or something like that, and I'm challenging them to give us a call. They can call us at 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. Now, you can also send us an email with some questions or comments that you might have, and of course, we'll respond to that, or I'll respond to that towards the end of the show. So the email address is letstalkei@gmail.com, or as I had mentioned earlier, you can hit me with a tweet during the show at Dr. Hank and Let's Talk EI. Okay, we're back with Jennifer. Jennifer, when we were talking earlier, one of the thoughts that I had, how do you feel emotional intelligence and education come together, and why? In other words, you know, we always talk about emotional intelligence, and most of the time it is geared towards business. But when we're talking about emotional intelligence from an academic environment, there's an opportunity for those two things to marry. I'm going to use the term marry. So how do you see that, and why do you think there's that opportunity there?
Well, I think mainly with emotional intelligence, it adds benefits. And like I mentioned earlier about just is a student prepared for school? I know a lot of the things that I say, I teach HR management courses, and one of the things that they always ask me is, you know, I'm trying to get a job, I'm trying to do this, things that they're looking to do afterwards, and we have to do mock interviews and things of that nature. And it's not just business students, you know, but some of the students that take these courses are, you know, a combination of from all the different programs. But ultimately, all of these students are looking to get a job, you know, after they graduate, or, you know, obviously before they graduate if they can. And one of the things that we do besides the career fair is we do events leading up to the career fair every day, meaning that they get to come in and practice interviewing. We're doing a dress for success. We're going to do resume building workshops, and just different things to kind of prepare them for, you know, what's to come afterwards. But kind of bringing it back to the interview itself, you know, okay. You had mentioned trying to kind of distinguish between that 3.7 and 3.7 GPA and really what makes them different. One of the things that I address in HR management when we do mock interviewing is that, you know, that's all well and good. Your formalized education is great. You know, you put that on your resume. They expect you to know those particular skills in that area of your discipline. And they expect you to know Microsoft Office. The questions that they're getting are EI related. How do you handle yourselves in certain situations? Describe your perfect relationship with your boss. If you ever had a problem with a coworker, how did you handle it? These are all emotional intelligence questions, and how they handle themselves, how they handle others, how would a coworker describe them? Those are all building relationships. That is not formalized education. That is something separate. So,
as they say, those aren't the things that they teach you in Harvard Business School. Of course, now in Harvard Business School, they do teach emotional intelligence.
They do. But they do that, you know, that a lot of those are MBA levels. So some of the things that I have them do is I have them not only the career fair, but we did a networking event where all of the business students learned how to walk up to somebody and introduce themselves, you know, how to approach them and ask them questions. We kind of did a kind of like a scavenger hunt, but it was called people scavenger hunt, where I gave them like a list of ice-breaking type questions, and their goal was to go get so many business cards from people at the event. They loved it. They were nervous at the beginning, but once they got into it, you know, they absolutely loved it, and they want to do another one.
Fantastic.
And of course, I mean, those are type of things that they need to learn that's outside of the classroom, not necessarily a formalized education. It's stuff that they do outside of it. So that kind of goes back to the before they start school, in school, and then what to do afterwards as part of, you know, my role as the program coordinator for Rasmussen College, you know, those are some of the things that I'm looking to do and incorporate EI, you know, all in basically all three of those areas.
Okay, well, I have a tough one for you here. Uh-oh. And this is because I spend time in the classroom also with students. So I'm not going to share my experience, but I wanted to get your experience. In other words, how might emotional intelligence be used, let's say, between student and faculty? How might it show up there?
Well, I guess if you're looking at it from professor and student, there is obviously some relationship guidelines that obviously your relationship's going to be different in, mm-hmm. in that situation. There's that whole professional end of it. But obviously in a classroom setting, you know, you're going to have some students that are going to be quieter than others. So how do you reach those students that are a little bit more, I guess if I could use the word timid in mm-hmm. class and get them to open up more? A lot of times we're going to do things like icebreakers in the classroom where we get them to kind of either work in a team or get them to do something a little bit more fun and exciting, get them to kind of move around a little bit, either play some sort of game associated with it. A lot of those are things that we can incorporate in the classroom to kind of help bring maybe some of the timid ones out of the shell, if you want to say it that way, and then the ones that are like maybe a little bit more overzealous, kind of get them to have that opportunity to be that way in class. In that environment.
Yes.
So that would probably be my best example.
Okay. Well, one of the other things I was thinking about also was student-student relationships. In most environments nowadays, in collegiate environments, one of the things that students have to do is work with each other in groups.
Mm-hmm.
And by being using their social skills, they should be able to be more effective in terms of working together in groups, which eventually impacts their academic performance or grades in terms of how they perform in class. And then I thought about it from one other perspective, and that is, you know, faculty and administration, you know, how emotional intelligence might work there. Because I think that's more like the traditional boss-employee, a boss-subordinate relationship when we talk about the administration and the faculty and, you know, that relationship that might happen there. So I see a lot of different ways that emotional intelligence, you know, is just really, really ripe for the academic environment. Do you have any other views about emotional intelligence or future plans for studies in the field of emotional intelligence?
Right now I'm trying to concentrate on finishing my dissertation right now. And data defense, but certainly, I've got ideas for the future and things that I want to do future research, blogging, things like that pertaining to EI and academics for sure. And certainly, I addressed earlier the development of a tool to, help admissions for these students that are coming into the programs. To make sure that they're prepared and kind of have a success class of some sort pertaining with EI and just making sure that they're really prepared to start school. That's mainly right now. Of course, I'm sure as it progresses, I'll have more things and ideas that I want to do.
Okay. Well, one more thing before I let you go, and that is at the beginning of the show, at the beginning of our discussion, I had mentioned about the Super Bowl last night and the emotions and things. Anything that you saw that you might relate, you know, emotional, not necessarily emotional intelligence, but emotions at the Super Bowl? Anything?
Absolutely. Actually, my parents were there, so I had a unique perspective, I guess, on everything. They were like six rows on the 15-yard line, so I got videos and all kinds of things from, you know, the happenings and going on at the game. And
oh, my goodness.
when the lights went out, I immediately texted my dad and said, what did he do? And he said that he tripped over the power cord. but luckily they were on the light side, so not the dark side. So that was good. But definitely the momentum, you could feel it. You could see the momentum of the players and, you know, the team and the coaches especially,
right.
You know, before the lights out, if you will, and then afterwards. And, certainly, I'm thinking in my head on the business side of it, the loss of money at the time.
Yes.
One of the things I noticed was the commercials stopped because they were just sitting there, you know, looking at, you know, the fans, and they're all standing. They actually didn't. My mom was texting me as well and wanting to know what was going on because they really weren't obviously talking to them either and letting the fans know what was going on. So definitely there was a moment of we don't know what's going on and not understanding. And they didn't really express it to the coaches either. So I think there was a small moment of panic.
Right.
And then afterwards, it was just kind of keeping the momentum for the players and the momentum even for the fans up. So those are my thoughts.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Next time that there's a Super Bowl game on, I'll make sure to give you a call so that I can get some analysis before, during, and after.
Sure, not a problem.
Jennifer, I'd like to thank you for being our guest on Let's Talk EI today. You've certainly given me and the listeners hopefully some food for thoughts in the application of EI in the academic environment. So if our listeners wanted to reach you or find out more about Rasmussen, how would they do that?
They can actually reach me at jennifer.trout@rasmussen.edu.
Okay.
That's probably the best way to reach me.
Okay. Well, again, thank you for being our guest today. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you in a few weeks.
All righty. Thank you so much.
This is Dr. Hank on Let's Talk EI. So let's take a break, and we'll be back right after this.